Phil and Will are back, breaking down episode 6 of Surviving Barstool season 3. The merge. So now they're all living together as if they haven't all just been sleeping right next to each other and talking whoever they want to any day of the week anyway. But the merge has finally happened, and it was an interesting one. I like the little ideas of hiding things around the office and leaving things out for people to notice, such as these pictures. What do you think of the pictures?
I don't want to talk about the pictures. I want to talk about us making winner picks on on our podcast. What was it? 2 nights ago, I guess. We're doing this in the morning. I got my coffee here. I'm ready to go. I'm fired up. Phil, who was your winner pick again? Remind me.
Tommy Smokes.
No. It was Rico Bosco.
Oh, was it Rico Bosco?
Yeah. And the next episode, he goes home. I love doing this. It's been a while since we've been recapping a season of Survivor. It's been too long. And when one of us ever makes an outright terrible prediction, we gotta call each other on it. So my winner pick got 0 votes. PFT. He did vote the wrong way. I'm actually I was more confused with where the lines were, even though there are only 8 people, only 2 tribes. We will get into how the votes shook out, but I guess you want to avoid the conversation of Rico and talk about pictures to start because you want the heat off you.
No, you know what? We can start with Rico. I will say that, you know, maybe this is where our self-righteousness of watching regular Survivor comes out a little bit, but I was having a hard time following why the hell Rico even got the votes at the end of this by the time they voted for him. Like, I really feel like there's like you're saying, where were the lines drawn? I was having a hard time understanding where was the 4-4, where was the 5-3, what was going on with it. So
shouldn't be that hard because there's only 8 people and there was only 2 tribes. There was never a swap. I think where it gets a little bit difficult is that we have done this one world twist. They have all been living together and they all know each other. So a lot of times when we see tribe swaps or merges, it's like, oh my gosh, hey, I'm so excited to meet you. Instead here, it's like, oh, what's up, man? Like, yeah. we've been friends for 10 years or we've been living in this office. So, I think the lines were a little bit blurry and I'm not sure exactly why Rico went. We can talk it through for sure. I kind of want to start, if you don't mind, Phil, I don't know if this is the right word, but camp life. Like camp life scenes in this show. I think there's an argument to be made that the camp, we get more camp life out of Surviving Barstool than we do real Survivor at this point.
I loved, was it Fights or PFT who locked himself out of the office?
PFT.
After he showered. That was fantastic. Thought that was so funny. I love the snoring stuff. I like that Rico is listening to John Mayer and has all the lights on. Like he's literally a 14-year-old.
And he didn't deny it either. He's not like, what are you guys talking about? You're just making fun of me. He's like, yep, that's exactly what I do. I mean, the John Mayer thing isn't that weird compared to having lights blast. I mean, what do you think is weirder? I think lights.
I can't sleep with any light.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, listen to music. I listen to things as I go to sleep. So that's not that weird.
I do just think, how loud was he listening to this John Mayer that they could all very distinctly tell it was John Mayer while he's also got all the lights on? That's where I say he is an actual 14-year-old.
What I didn't quite understand was KFC was saying how he slept great this whole time, or like better than he thought he would be. And then now that they've merged, now that there are fewer people left, and now that there's no tribe barracks, or I guess I'm confused on what the sleeping situation is. It seems like it's a free for all. Like everyone there might have been 2 large rooms with a bunch of twin beds. That's what it seemed like when there were tribes. And now it's a free for all. And you can move your mattress somewhere. You can pick out an office. So I'm not sure why it's now harder with fewer people, but it seems like it's getting to people.
Yeah, I have no idea. Couldn't figure it out. Because earlier in the show, they showed Gaz sleeping in like what I would call a living room. It's not, because they're not in a house, but he was just sleeping in a regular room. Portnoy was sleeping in his office without anybody else. So that's where I was confused too.
Yeah, Jerry found a conference room. Yeah, he got locked out of Erica's office, who's the CEO. And then there's like they keep referring to these other rooms as like barracks. And those are those larger rooms.
Were they? I almost wonder. Are they just like? Were they like? Hey, we're actually gonna like go back to work once we get down to eight people. The other six people need some office space back. So wherever this barracks were, like, it's not as much of a free for all at this point. Also, six people have gone home. Now seven people have gone home, and it's only a 5-day game. So they keep talking. They're acting like, man, I've slept like trash. Would they sleep literally one night? And then they're here.
Like, that's also true. We could go back and try to like parse out how which tribal council is not taking place at night, because clearly not all of them are. But because of, you know, the order they're putting the episodes out and the editing, it's like, say tribal council's at night. That will just make it more clear for everybody. I felt like episode one, that was a tribal council at night, and they did sleep, and then they probably did two or maybe three tribal councils on day two. I don't know how much sleeping we got, or maybe this is much longer than 5 days. Maybe they went 7 days. That might be more likely than sticking to five.
I know we're both fans of Wet Hot American Summer, and that's what this feels like a little bit to me. We're in Wet Hot American Summer when Michael Showalter looks at the camera in the TV show version, and he's like, I'm a 14-year-old boy and I know what love is. And he's clearly like a 50-year-old man. I do feel like there's a little bit of that humor going into this, where they might be playing with the audience a little bit, where they're talking about, I just have slept like trash this entire time, knowing that it was one night that they all slept like trash, or maybe they're on night. And then I was sleeping real good, and now all of a sudden I can't sleep because maybe this is the second or third night that KFC is actually.
Yeah, it might be morning three for all we know.
Yeah.
And they might be tricking us with, you know, putting some cutscenes in the earlier episodes to convince us that they're waking up. I feel like we're getting a lot of factor breakfasts. I think we've seen the eggs and the pancakes quite a few times. So I imagine they shot all the factor beats at like one time, or they do it, you know, however many mornings there have been.
Yeah.
Starting to think the factor looks good. I think it's getting to me.
It's getting to me too. And I think that the factor stuff, they might be shooting over the course of a week, 2 weeks. They might have just been, hey, every time we come in, can we just get a couple of the people to sit down and do this real quick?
They had that one scene where it's like so staged, where the boxes come in, they're like, yes, that I want to pick first. Oh, I get the chicken pecan. I want this. It's like, and it's so hammed up. So clearly, kind of what you're saying, that they're like, we're supposed to know they're putting on for the sponsor. But hey, it still looks good.
Hey, it looks good. Yeah, I'd honestly never heard of it until this. So maybe they've won me over. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. So let me bring this up into a sports terminology. Michael Jordan against the Jazz, you know, Tom Brady down 28-3 against the Falcons. I can't think of another sport. Tommy Smokes winning this challenge. Is it up there with like that kind of stuff? Because he's 100% going home if he doesn't win this, right?
I don't know if he 100% is going home. That's what's crazy. Like, I think if he doesn't win, he probably finds a way out of it, because we're still so far from the final three. Like, KFC, I think it said the week before, it's like, this is where all the Barstool reality shows start. They start with eight people left. Mm-hmm. So, like, we are very far away from the final three. And I think that's where Tommy is going to – that's his downfall. People don't want to sit at the end with Tommy. I don't think people mind playing with Tommy, or even think – and he even said, like, he's not really that much of a challenge beast, although he has won. I mean, he won this one, and then from what I remember, he won a couple in his first season, and then Most Dangerous, he definitely won a couple challenges. So I think Tommy is kind of a challenge beast, not because he's super physical or anything, but I think he just knows how all these games work. Like, he's seen every version – of these games on Real Survivor and has gleaned some information or strategies.
Well, and yeah, this one, he sees these pictures on the table and he says, I think these probably mean something. So he memorizes it, and everybody else tried to memorize it. But Tommy has seen this played out on the real show so many times that he can say, okay, what is the likelihood that the whole challenge is this, or is there going to be like different elements to it, whatever. So he was, you know, like he said, he was hoping that it was going to be the entire challenge. And then it turned out to just get him into the final two. I was really surprised Shay and KFC decided to go against him. I feel like there was no way they were going to beat him. And like, while I may have volunteered myself to do this if I was memorizing it, I think if, you know, a person who I would assume has it memorized the best also tried to do it, I would just say, nah, never mind, I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, they both – KFC made a good point. He's like, would have rather done that, because listening and hearing it, I would have had no chance, which maybe is true, maybe it's not. I don't know how his memory is, but I think, I don't know. I think you take a stab at it, especially because out of everyone's kind of device, it seemed like Shay had the best one. Like, he mm-hmm. had like a song that rhymed and actually used the words, whereas KFC was assigning the first letter of each logo to a part of his phrase. I forget what the phrase was. And then Tommy
couldn't remember the phrase either.
Yeah, he couldn't remember the phrase. And then Tommy assigned each one of them a number. So, like, in Tommy's method, I remember it was like Shark Pizza. He's like, okay, so Shark Pizza, that's 1, 2. Shark Pizza. Okay, that's 1, 2. And so maybe that would come up later if it was some code breaking thing. But then it was all memory. So from what we got of Tommy's system was basically, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
Which, like, that's all he has to remember. But wait a second, that's not corresponding to anything. Mm-hmm. The numbers have no meaning. So I thought out of everyone's device, Shay was the best. Now, clearly Tommy had, you know, he made a code for it and he had memorized it. And we just didn't see whatever his memorization strategy was.
Yeah, his memorization strategy had to have been better than what he got credit for, because Shay might have had the best one, but
one that we saw.
Yeah, I think he forgot some of his words to his song too. You know, I feel like it was crazy how, even though they were all saying whatever they were saying and they were singing whatever they were singing, none of them even came close. Like, Tommy was the only one who was close. And I know they were all tweeting about it last night. As I was going through this morning after I watched, I was like, oh, let me see what people were saying. They were saying that it was so fast. And I know that these guys will exaggerate and milk it for the camera and whatever, but they were saying that Tommy did that in like 25 seconds and it was over. So you really have no shot if that's the case.
Yeah. I wonder what he actually used as a strategy. It was also too about getting the blocks, because those obviously, yeah, those are cubes. They have six sides. We know there's way more than six symbols.
Mm-hmm.
So you could grab a block and be like, oh damn, it's not, the symbol I need isn't on here. So you can't just grab a random bundle and hope. It seemed like they had a ton of symbols. So you had to be pretty precise in grabbing and going back and putting them in order.
There were a lot too of blocks. You know, it wasn't just like, oh, there's 10 blocks with six symbols on each side. There had to have been probably close to 20 blocks. So there was a lot going on there. And that was probably the most stressful part, because even at the end, when it came down to Compton and Tommy Smokes, there was no guarantee Tommy Smokes was going to win that, even if he did have it memorized better or could remember better than Compton.
Oh, it didn't matter. Yeah, his memory of the first 10 didn't matter at all at that point.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, when you're going to grab those blocks, now Compton's been going and grabbing those blocks 4 or 5 times, where Tommy Smokes hasn't done it since the first time. So Compton might be knowing, okay, this is on, like, there's certain cubes that have, you know, that are missing certain elements or something.
True.
So he went out and he grabbed that. And he also learned what Larry was. He had no idea what Larry was originally. So he had his learning curve. So it was better for him that he didn't just skip straight to the end.
Do you know who Larry is?
I have no idea.
So Larry is a goldfish that the Part of My Take podcast had. They had Larry the goldfish. And I believe he would do gambling picks. So, like, they would put, like, two ping pong balls or, like, two things that would sync with, like, the teams. And then Larry would swim. And then Larry, I think, went on, like, a streak where he got, like, 5 games in a row correct. And then Larry, unfortunately, passed away. Mm. And then they would get a new Larry. And so then it was Larry 2. And then I think it got up to like Larry 5 or 6 at some point. I don't follow that closely. I don't know if that bit is still going. They might have retired it. Like, hey, we keep killing, like, you know, 15 goldfish. We're just going to keep this bit going. I mean, they die on their own, obviously. They're not actively killing them. But, or maybe Larry's record didn't keep up with his hot start. So I don't really know how that saga ended, but Larry is definitely a famous character in the Barstool lore.
I appreciate the fact that America has a severe gambling problem right now where people just keep losing. And then I hear about these kinds of things where probably the most popular sports gambling podcast site, whatever you want to call it, company, is having people pick it with the goldfish. That really brings me joy. So it makes sense. It makes sense why people lose a lot.
He had a great record. I mean, maybe you can even look up like Larry the Goldfish's record. Let's see.
Right, look up Larry the Goldfish's record, and I'm gonna sit here and try to pretend. Hey, maybe he knew. Maybe that's what goldfish are actually good for, with their lack of memory. It's knowing that.
Okay, so this is in 2017. This has been going on. for a while. He entered a Las Vegas super contest, had 1,800 contestants, and Larry the Goldfish finished 55th of 1,800 entries. And that at this point that they were on Larry number two, and that was 2017. I don't know if they got Larry number. Let's see.
Did it say what sport that was for the super contest?
That's NFL, I'm pretty sure.
That tells you how bad the public is at betting NFL. Although this year, great year for the NFL betting the public, or the public betting the NFL. They've been killing it. Books are cooking right now. We got Larry Goldfish won.
So we have Larry. This is 2018. I think they might have gotten their Roman numerals wrong. Because it says Larry the Gambling Goldfish number six, VI. But I don't ever know if they got to six. Not to brag, but our Gambling Goldfish, Larry the fourth or the sixth, is 4-0 on national television. So he was on national television. You used to be able to invest in Larry the Goldfish. I think they got up to four. I don't know if they ever got
to this.
Five. But yeah, I mean, that's fun too. You get some of this Barstool lore and like Will Compton, who had no idea. It's like, how do you work at Barstool and not know who Larry is?
I mean, you know, I guess these guys have a life too, right? I mean, they probably do, but if you don't do the show and have anything to do with Larry the Goldfish, are you really going to be checking every time something is tweeted out about Larry the Goldfish or something? You know, I mean,
it's not even know who it is.
I don't know.
When did Compton start there? Place.
When did Compton start there?
Nah, not that long ago.
Okay.
I think it's only been like a couple of years.
Yeah, so that would make sense. I mean, Larry the Goldfish at this point, he's enshrined in Canton. He doesn't have time. Compton has to go back and that's like finding out who Dick Butkus is, you know, like he's got to go do some research. Everybody back then knows it was a big deal, but it's tough to know now. What am I looking at here? Oh, what did you think about in this challenge when Jerry moved the block and tried to walk away and then PFT said, oh, I touched my block too. What did you think about this?
I was pumped that we had some challenge controversy back after last week not having any. It seemed like Jerry knew he wasn't going to win and was just like, I want to be out and I want to like show everyone here that I'm playing by the rules and that I'm honest. Honesty, integrity, that's something Dave will always say when he makes rants or emergency press conferences or anything like that. So I think Jerry's just trying to ham up that he was an honest person. So like he switched one block when he wasn't allowed to. And it was, I mean, the penalty immediately is like, you're disqualified from the challenge, which seemed really hard. So like, why can't you just switch them back? You know, maybe take a 5-second penalty whenever he says go. But no, Jerry wanted to be out. And then PFT's like, well, I touched my block and he didn't even switch the places. And I think PFT also wanted to be like, hey, I'm playing by the rules too. Even as the confessional, like it was against Tommy, I would have been like, no, I'm not going to say anything. Yeah. But, they're an alliance. They're working together. I think they both want to just, you know, have goodwill with the rest of the people and the host and production. So, yeah,
I thought it was funny though that Jersey Jerry was going to be eliminated from the game. He was disqualified for doing that. But then when PFT did it, it was okay, we'll rerun it. But I thought they were just going to eliminate PFT because PFT had done it before.
Well, I think they needed one of them to win to go on to the next round. So it's like if they're both disqualified.
Well, that's where I thought they would have gotten rid of PFT though. Because if the rule was if you touch it, you're disqualified and PFT touched it first, then you would just eliminate him and keep Jerry around.
Yeah, I mean, the rule's shady. It's like, if you don't switch the blocks and you just touch it, is that even doing anything? It's like, probably not. I like how it's loose. I like how it's like, let's just figure it out as we go. I think that's, they didn't get super heated, but there was, you know, a controversy nonetheless and brought some interest.
Okay, so speaking of super heated, Will Compton is lying about not having his bag and wants to know why Rico stole his bag. And he is just trolling Rico relentlessly about this bag. And Rico is really pissed off because he really thinks that Will can't find it. And he's trying to, again, I love that they go to the producers for tapes. Get it on tape. Look, there you are. You're walking down the stairs, you idiot. Yeah, but you got it before that. I love that kind of stuff. But I like that Will keeps saying, as long as you get it back to me by Thursday, it's no big deal. Just we're good. Just get it back to me by Thursday. And it was really working. We were starting to get that frustration that makes Rico a 10 out of 10. And unfortunately makes me sad that he's gone.
Yeah. And this is where I'm getting back to camp life on Surviving Barstool might be better than camp life and actually an actual survivor where it's, you know, Survivor, we don't even see them like fish or starve or make rice or argue anymore. It's all about strategy and gameplay, which is cool, which is fun. But this is just like out of left field. This is perfect. And we've seen this before where people just assume Rico's being shady, even though he's not, even though he's innocent. Like we saw when Kirk set him down, like, are you lying to me right now? Because he just kind of has, he says wrong place, wrong time. Like he's just kind of has a shady vibe. I don't know what it is. He clearly gives it off because at first Will Compton did think that Rico moved it. Cause he goes, I didn't move your clothes. I didn't do anything. Cause he just immediately starts getting so defensive for absolutely no reason. He thinks he's being accused. When he wasn't being accused at all, Will was just like, I misplaced my bag. I don't know where it is. And Rico suddenly goes on the defensive, like, I didn't move it. I didn't steal it. And then, yeah, hilarious to keep the bit going and actually driving Rico insane. And then we go back to this footage question. Are you allowed to pull up footage? It seems like we kind of should have resolved this question once it happened in the challenge. Then Dave flipped out that one team got to review footage of an in-game show that they are shooting, which has some valid arguments. Mm-hmm. And now Rico is just pulling footage of people walking around. That name Pete, it could be a number of people. It could be someone on the production team, but there is a person at Barstool. His name is All Business Pete. And he rarely is a front-facing, whether he's on a podcast or even, I don't think I've ever seen his face. He will rarely come onto a podcast. And he actually has a great shtick, and it's that he is All Business Pete. So, like, whenever they ask him a question, they'll be like, well, I'll have to check how that improves the business or what types of numbers on that. Or, like, I think he runs the office. So it might have been pulling, like, the security camera. I think they have, like, robo cams in the corner.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah. It's not, like, actually produced footage of the cam ops or even the social people. It seems like it's those security cameras throughout the office. So I think that's All Business Pete getting a call out, who was a funny Barstool guy.
Yeah, and I think that one makes a little bit more sense because if you're trying to claim that something was stolen, you know, now you're worrying about, you know, Rico was saying, I don't know, there could be medicine in there. There could be anything. I'm not going to take that from somebody. I'm not that kind of guy. But it is, if it's stolen, you can say, okay, let's look at the security footage to see what was stolen, as opposed to, you know, when they're doing a challenge and then you're watching footage being filmed by cameramen who are then going to put it out. So I do think there's a difference between those two things, but I just love that Will Compton was doing it for no reason other than to rile up Rico. And that then he started telling everybody what was going on, and Rico still was never let in on the loop. So he just kept getting madder and madder and madder and madder, which
that's how you get to Rico.
Seems like it. It seems
I loved when they were eating and someone's like, well, dude, if he didn't have it when he walked down, and Will's like, no, I'm messing with him. Like, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, Rico doesn't seem like the kind of guy to step back and say, hey, man, I know you have it. I don't really care. You're not going to get to me anymore. Instead, it's just going to be, that's what's pissing me off, man. You think it's me and blah, blah, blah. And he just keeps going, going, going. I'm hoping that Rico has a nice Dave Portnoy edit next week post vote where he gets a solid 5 minutes or something on Monday night's episode, because I'd like that.
Yeah, I would like that too. We didn't see much of Dave tonight.
No, there was
I think he realized he's out. Like, he can't. Yeah. They merged. They moved on. He had maybe like one line or two lines as a jury member, but
he says you made the wrong alliance. You made the wrong decision or something like that from the jury. That was all he said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We didn't really hear from any of the jury people. Kirk didn't get a send off. Gaz didn't get a send off. None of them got to explain why they went home, but I guess it's a little bit more self-explanatory. I mean, really this is a 43 minute episode, and I would say probably 20 minutes of it was the challenge. Am I wrong on that?
No, I don't know if 20 minutes was the challenge. I feel like before tribal, it was like, it was pretty chaotic. You know, I was unsure. I thought there were four people who could go home going into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, who were the four people that you thought could go home?
Fights, Rico, PFT, and Jerry.
See, Jerry was never on my radar. Jerry was never on my radar at all.
PFT kept saying something about trying to flush out the idol. I don't, and it was like thrown in there. I'm like, so wait a second, maybe they're throwing votes on Jerry if that somehow got out, or Jerry's gonna play the idol for somebody and then, you know, a stray vote goes on him. I don't know, because we're not following traditional editing standards here where it's like Survivor has a very pointed question. Is this going to happen, A, or is this going to happen, B? I mean, maybe once a season you get like a B or C on Survivor, CBS Survivor. Whereas here it's like, no, we're going in pretty blind on these votes.
Yeah, and so when I look at PFT, did PFT actually say flush the idol? Was PFT using Survivor wording? I don't remember. Like, maybe that's why I didn't register in my mind, because I don't remember what he said, but it'd blow my mind if he said we should flush this idol, right? Like, I can't remember how he worded it. He
did.
Really?
Why? I want to say
they're starting.
I don't know. I also watched Survivor last night.
That's true. And so they were talking about flushing an idol.
They were talking about flushing an idol. Yeah. So I don't remember. I mean, if PFT said flush an idol, it's because he heard someone else say it. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that the best word to use? I mean, maybe it is, man. That's just what you go to, even if you're not.
I think they would just say get rid of it. Right? Yeah. You don't know the synonym for it. So you just say, let's get rid of the idol. Why have the idol there? Let's get rid of it. Let's vote him out so he can't have it anymore. Something like that. That's how I would think of it.
Yeah. But there was talk of that. That came up. Do you remember that?
I do. I do now. But whatever it was, I'd actually be curious. And this is a totally Survivor related thing, not surviving Barstool. But I'd be curious who the first person to say flush the idol was. Because that's not a phrase that should be the phrase, but that is exactly where our brains as Survivor fans go to flush the idol. But that's not what the phrase should be.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good word for it, though. Like, you're flushing is getting, like, rid of. Like, getting rid of is three words, and flushing is one word. So, yeah, I mean, let's flush it out. Like, flushing something out, mm-hmm. also, you're making someone play it when they don't have the votes their way. So, like, you're kind of bringing it out. I don't know. That's a really good question. There's a lot of things in Survivor where I'm wondering, like, how they came to be. Like, a lot of people will say, even in real life, like, oh, they're my day one. Yeah. I'm like, was that like a post 2000s phrase that came from Survivor, or is that something people have been saying way before Survivor? I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot.
That's a pretty common phrase. Well, yeah, he's my day one, or she's my day one. Yeah. I don't know.
It's kind of, it's the Seinfeld thing, right? When you're one of us and you hear yada, 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 you don't realize that came from Seinfeld. Like, we realize it, obviously, but like,
I didn't know that until you just said that.
Really? Yeah. Yada, yada, yada came from Seinfeld.
Are we sure about that?
Yeah. That yada, yada, yada did not exist until Seinfeld, which is insane to think about, because like, our
what context did they use it? Did someone just say it, or
George says, you know, yada, yada, yada. He can't think of what else to say. So he's, you know, yada, yada, yada.
That he just says it frequently.
No, he there's like an episode where he says it. And
it's like a moment. It's
and
like,
it became what did you part just of say? The cultural lexicon. Like, wow. It's insane.
I had no clue. The high five wasn't like invented until like 1976 or something.
Really?
Yeah, which sounds insane.
So what were people and doing? Like, hey, go good back, job, was, man. Like,
there's very weird videos of like in old movies or TV shows where like people like kind of touch hands, but it's not like up. They're not intentionally like high fiving with their hands up in the air. I think it was Bobby Bonds rounding home plate, and they just clap hands at the end, and that's supposedly where the high five was invented. Which seems like what were Spartans and gladiators and like what were they doing during battle after they like kick some ass, like in 300, those guys, like after they kick some ass, they weren't high-fiving. Like, I can't imagine, like, what were they doing?
Dude, so it was 1977.
Even later.
Dusty Baker high-fived his teammate Glenn Burke. Could you imagine, though, in 1977 seeing that and being like, holy shit.
You probably didn't think anything. You're probably like, well, that was weird. And not knowing it would be like the way to celebrate sports.
That's insane to think. Like, so the Super Bowl, the first 15 years of the Super Bowl, nobody ever high-fived.
See, that's where it doesn't make sense. Like, they had to have, like, what were they doing when a player would walk off the field after making like a big tackle or something? Were you like, were you doing a pound it? Like, when the, I feel like the pound it seems more new age than a high five. It seems like the pound it's, you know, newer in the evolution of
the pound it pretty much became a thing even more so after COVID. It was a thing that was going on, but then that kind of replaced the handshake after COVID because people didn't want to be like grabbing hands with other people. Because now, like, I work so many sporting events. If I go to a sporting event, nobody tries to shake your hand anymore. It's always the pound it thing. So
yeah, but pounding was a thing. Like that we would do in like school. For like sure. It was around. Like we knew it was invented. You know who's a big pounded guy?
Who?
Jeff Probst.
Is he really?
Yeah.
That's, you know who I might have invented the pounded?
Jeff Probst.
No. Howie Mandel.
We'll have to look it up.
We'll have to look it up because he did Deal or No Deal and he was a germaphobe and he wouldn't shake hands with people. So he would only do that. So I wonder if he was like the one that made that popular.
I don't know. I feel like the popular part was when you would pound it and then you would go like, pew, and like your hand, you separate your fingers for the explosion. Yeah.
We were sick in the 90s. But yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. Flushing the idol. Who would have thought that's where we got on all of that? Because I don't believe you that PFT used the words flush the idol based on how
I doubt he did. Now that I think more about it, I doubt he did, but I kind of want to go. I don't want to go back right now and see if he actually said it.
See what his terminology
is. Talk about something.
Well, so what my question was going to be is, do you think that these guys are actually good enough to flush the idol out of Jerry? Do you think Jerry's just going to cruise to the end because he has an idol and they don't really understand how it's going to work and eventually somebody will slip?
Well, actually, Jerry's being very smart about this because very few people know that. Mm-hmm. He even has an idol, which is, again, something that's pretty rare. It seems like these days on Survivor, once you have an idol, you tell like your closest ally and then they tell somebody or you tell the whole tribe. It's like Bruce's idol this season, like everyone knew he had it. It seems like every season everyone knows, oh, he's got one or there's talk this person. So it's like very top of mind where the idols are. It seems like Jerry's done a great job of actually concealing where it is. And he doesn't seem like an astute, knowledgeable Survivor super fan. He just knows, hey, I probably shouldn't be telling anyone really that I have this and I can use it to my advantage if people don't know about it, which is true. So, mm-hmm. And I've said this before as we've been going through these episodes, the strategy that these people are like using, not that it's super difficult to understand or super complex, but they are using pretty sound strategy and are figuring it out on the fly without having watched 45 seasons of Survivor. So,
yeah,
I'm totally ready to be like, these people are capable of pulling. I mean, we basically had Jerry 3-2-1 Dave out of the game, which, yeah, maybe he had been flipped the whole time, but once he knew that votes were going on Gaz and that he could then flip his vote, like that was a pretty sound strategic move. We talked about the shield strategy is why Tommy is still in the game, because PFT, Jerry and Rico were like, hey, we have a shield. Again, they didn't say shield, like they probably didn't say flushing the idol, but they are definitely arriving on these strategies. So yeah, I have total confidence that once it's known where the idol is, they will put a plan in place to flush it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think they could figure it out at this point, but it is kind of refreshing to watch this type of gameplay because it does feel like an old school Survivor type of gameplay where they all think that they're inventing the game, but we all know that they're not inventing the game. But it's fun to watch them put it into action because the way Jerry's playing is, you know, he's like, oh man, like I've never seen this before. So this is what I'm inventing the strategy. And we've seen people play the game the way that Jerry is playing the game right now. But it's refreshing because people in New School Survivor don't play the game the way that Jerry is playing the game right now. New School Survivor, I mean, for anybody who's watched this season, I mean, idols almost have no meaning at this point. Last night we had an idol play. The week before we didn't have an idol play. People are talking about idols, but everybody knows where the idols are, and that's why people are voting the way they are. So it is kind of refreshing to see the Barstool guys figure out how to lie and be deceitful to each other about the idols and stuff like that. Maybe it's helping that they all know each other so well, because they know who's good at lying, they know who sucks at lying, and they all have their built-in beliefs of who would actually be smart enough to find this stuff.
So you want to know what PFT said?
What, did he say flushing the idol?
No, but he didn't say get rid of either. He had a great, I mean, it's another great phrase. He had smoke out the idol.
Smoke out the idol. There you go. There you go. That makes so much more sense in the context of Barstool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
So, I mean, they're definitely getting what the, I mean, that's basically saying flush.
Oh, yeah.
Smoking it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's a different way. It's the same thing as permutation.
You're extracting it out.
Yeah, these are the words, these are the terminology they should be using, but we get it. And I think it's fun that they're doing it in character. They're saying the same thing, even though they're not using the exact.
What I'm saying is there is meaning to this. It's like they understand what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Just, I mean,
people can look at this and be like, oh, it's Barstool people playing Survivor. Yeah. There's no strategy. There's no thought. They're just like dumb sports fans, blah, blah. It's like, no, these people actually are really competitive and they're playing hard. There is $100,000 on the line. And just because they're not a bunch of Survivor super fans and nerds like we keep seeing on modern day Survivor, it's like the strategy isn't that complicated and people can, you know, figure it out. And this is a great example. It's like they get how an idol works. They get that they can smoke it out. I think it's a good example of like the kind of people we're dealing with here.
I look forward to the day when I'm doing a Survivor recap podcast and I say smoke it out. And maybe I'll throw that in one of the next couple episodes before you kind of jump back into the recaps and see if I can just confuse the hell out of Alexa, you know, just be like, yeah, we're going to smoke out the idol. When she's what, or since when does anybody ever say that? I'll just pretend.
Would you even bat an eye? Cause I was watching this last night and PFT says smoke it out. And then here I say, oh yeah, he said flush out the idol. And you're like, wait, I doubt he said that. I mean, you might, it makes so much sense that maybe no one would bat an eye.
Maybe. Well, I'm going to test that theory. We'll find out on Monday when I mention Austin's idol. So was this alliance then, because of the way
you want to break down these votes and how it shook out?
Yeah, let's see if we can make sense of this in like the next 10 minutes. But Shay, KFC, Tommy, they all voted for Rico. And then Rico got vote. Rico, Jerry, and PFT all voted for
It was basically the two tribes voted against each other, except Tommy voted against his own tribe. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. So 5-3 were all the original stool tribe, I want to say, KFC, Fights, Shay, Compton, all went Rico. Tommy went Rico, Jerry, PFT, and Rico went Fights.
Right. So pretty much... Do you think that the tribal lines will stay through then? Or do you think that once Tommy loses, people will go after him and then there could be a little bit more chaos? I mean, because Jerry has this idol. So now it realistically, if Tommy wanted to go back to the other side, it'd be 4-3. Tommy has the idol.
Which Tommy probably wants to do. He probably wants to play that middle game and bounce back and forth and not let any one side get power, because he knows if one side gets too high, then they can just pick him off really easily, and he wants to be used as a number for whoever the minority tribe is. So yeah, go ahead.
Say, well, also because on his tribe last episode they showed that they're not going to work with him. Rico, PFT, and Jerry would have been so willing to vote him out at any time, so it makes sense to get rid of one of them and then maybe go running back to them and say, well, hey, look, if we can just find an idol, or if we can make something happen, and now maybe Jerry, who doesn't have the numbers, tells Tommy he has the idol, and now Tommy can put a plan together to get rid of one of the four guys on the other side using Jerry's idol.
I'd love to see it. It seems like Tommy doesn't really have anywhere to go, though, because even KFC and Fights were like, yeah, sure, man. Like, we'll play with you. Like, I don't know if I can trust you or promise you everything. And then PFT, even when Tommy went to PFT, PFT was like, Tommy, I don't know, man. Like, no one was like, all right, man, I believe you. Let's go. It was like, you are wearing immunity and I can't vote you out, but let's see. Like, they kind of were on to him making deals for the future, knowing that he totally had the freedom to do that. Like, that he had immunity and could kind of say whatever he wanted.
Yeah. 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 And I feel like that is probably where they're still out of touch, maybe with regular Survivor, and where they do drop off a little bit is Tommy has the immunity this time. And they almost looked at that as, okay, great. We throw Tommy out. We don't have to worry about Tommy. Like, just like, we'll ignore that almost, because we can't vote for him. So let's figure everything else out. I do feel like,
which I kind of like, it is weird in CBS Survivor. It's like someone gets, when, you know, wins the immunity challenge, it's like, I have all the power. It's like, no, your vote is still 1 of 9 or 1 of 8 or however many people are left. Yeah. Like, your vote doesn't increase in size because you have the idol. Now you can play more loosely and like put something, you can try to put your own plans in the action. You don't have to worry about someone coming and thwarting you and voting you off. But I kind of like, they're like, all right, whatever, Tommy won. Like, we can still kind of do what we want. Although Tommy was kind of the swing vote, you could say, I guess. Like,
The thing was, what was the best Tommy was going to do? Force a tie?
Yeah, and I don't know. Did PFT Jerry and Rico think they had someone on the other side? Like, maybe they thought, okay, Tommy will vote.
Maybe they thought they had Compton. Us.
And yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe they thought they had Shea or Compton.
Compton probably
knew they weren't getting KFC. They knew they weren't getting fights because they were voting fights. So
yeah,
they probably thought they had Shea or Compton.
Yeah, that would make the most sense. Also,
which they probably showed us. It was just there were so many moving parts to this vote that I just wasn't super clear on what their end goal was.
So here's one thing I got, and I'm asking this because it was brought up in another episode and we didn't mention it, but I'm thinking about it now. They had said at one point, if we tie, well, then we just play our idol and somebody goes home. Does Jerry think that he can play the idol after the votes are read? Or not after they're read, but if there's a tie, that then on the revote, he'd be allowed to play it? Does he think that that's the rule? And is that the rule in Surviving Barstool? Because it's obviously not the rule in
Season 2. I did not catch that.
It was a couple episodes ago.
Yeah. I think maybe he meant, I mean, again, I don't know. I didn't catch this one. But he potentially mean that, you know, if we know where the votes are going, and you know, if it's going to be a tie and, you know, we haven't had the votes read, but they feel confident it's going to be a deadlock, that's when they'll use it. So that is.
We're going to vote. And if it's a tie, then we just play the idol. And I feel like he was thinking
that could be another way of saying if it's a tie, like if the votes where we know they're going is a tie, that's when we'll play it.
I wish I could remember what episode.
I think they probably explain the rules to everybody before. I mean, that happens on every show. It's like, here's the rules, especially, you know, not everyone here watches Survivor. You can't just know all the rules. So I'm sure they explained how it all worked. And if he got that wrong, that's on him. But and then I even more than likely is that Survivor is or Barstool is allowing idols to be played after the first round of votes have been cast, even if there's a tie, because like I've been saying, like Jeff and the producers and even Dale, like they're Survivor fans. They know the rules of Survivor.
Yeah. It was just something I thought of, and it's definitely brought up in one of the episodes. So it's something to think about for sure. Moving forward, it would be funny on a tie if he thought he could play it on the revote. And then Jeff DeLoach is like, no, you can't do that. And then that would cause some screaming. And I would love that. Mike Rico jumping off the Jerry to go beat the shit out of Jeff DeLoach. Who did you pick to win when we did this last time?
PFT.
PFT.
Who got no votes. And
lost a close alliance member. That's good.
Yeah, he's got Jerry who has the idol.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, and he's got he's not in the majority, but I think Jerry and PFT can stick around.
Yeah.
Because remember, Shea voted against Compton. Like, it was Shea, KFC, and fights. Like, I think Compton could easily flip over. And he seems to be playing hard.
Yeah. So. Yeah, he wants to win. He wants to do it with the boys, too. So, you know, he's got to do his thing. Is he the one who started saying the boys all the time? Or did that come from somebody else at Barstool? Because he says the boys nonstop. Was he the Saturdays for the Boys guy? Or was that somebody else?
No, that was like way long. That was before Compton was at Barstool.
Okay.
I forget where that phrase came from. It was the answer to some joke, or it was a phrase, an old phrase where like Saturdays are for the boys and I think Sundays are for the men was like actually the finishing part of the phrase. Like, it actually wasn't supposed to be a good thing. I mean, it might have even been a football reference, or like like Saturdays are for the like
college
Saturdays
football
for boys, college football, and then NFL is for them, like Sundays for the men. Yeah. I could be totally off on that also. I really don't know the origin of that. But I remember hearing it was some sort of old-timey phrase. And then the one part was just Saturdays are for the boys. Just totally stuck.
Damn. Yeah. Okay. Because, he says the boys so much that I thought maybe that was it. But so now the next episode doesn't air till Monday. So we get a little hiatus.
What are we going to do?
I can sleep. That's what I can do. I'm so excited. Are we going to do anything? I don't think we're going to do anything. I think you're just going to smile at each other. We'll text each other and say, man, I wish Surviving Barstool was on right now.
Yeah. I mean, do we want to offer some predictions for next week before we get out of here?
I mean, the finale is next Wednesday. So how do you foresee this going? So that means the finale is going to have five people in it, and we know it's a final three. who isn't going to make the finale? Let's start with that. Who's your next two going home?
Well, I kind of want to think about episode basis. You think it's a single boot, go from 7 to 6, single boot, 6 to 5.
And I think they'll do like an hour and 40 minutes or something for the last episode.
And I think it's a live finale. Like, they're doing what like Survivor used to do, where they'd come in to the reunion stage. You'd have the jury, you'd have the 5 people still in, and then go play the edited flashback episode and then do a live vote reveal, live reunion. Like, they're actually doing the live thing, because that's what it says on the schedule. It says, if you look on the Barstool TV, it's like episode 7 is 12-11, episode 8, 12-12, season 3 live finale.
So am I supposed to believe that they don't know who won yet?
I think it's like Survivor, where like the producers of the show know who wins, but they haven't done the final vote reveal yet. Because remember, that's how Survivor used to work not that long ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Interesting. For 40-something seasons, that's what would happen. Well,
I think we're gonna have 5 people in the finale. So who do you got? Who do you got going home these next 2 weeks? Or next 2 days, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah. Man, I gotta hold my winner pick. So I gotta say PFT's in the finale. I think Jerry finds his way there, even though those are the two people on the bottom right now. I think Shay probably gets ousted. It seems like they brought it up that a lot of people, like some Barstool Chicago thing, like he's going to get a lot of votes because all the Chicago guys are on the jury. Mm-hmm. That's like Big Cat and Hank, because PFT is moving there, or they moved there. So I think Shay is out. I think Feidelberg might get ousted, or one of Feidelberg or KFC. So I think I think Tommy makes it somehow. I mean, at least that's what I'm hoping for. I think it's going to be Tommy, Jerry, PFT. I think Will Compton will be there. I think he's playing well. Shay's out, and then it's like kind of a coin flip between, because like, why would you vote off fights? I guess they did it. They tried doing it this week. It's like, I can see him getting votes because Barstool would be like, that's funny if fights didn't do anything and he wins. Like, they would be kind of in on the joke. So that I could actually see, be like, wow, everyone likes him, let's vote him out. So maybe I'll go that. I'll go fights goes home. We have KFC, Compton, PFT, Tommy, Jersey Jerry.
See, my hot take was supposed to be that Fights isn't going to make it. I thought you were going to be all in on Fights. So I don't think Fights is going to make it. But you know what? I'll say Che. I have no idea how I'm supposed to say his last name. So I'm just going to butcher it. I'm going to butcher it until I'm dead. But I'm going to say he gets through, and I'm going to say it's going to be Fights and KFC that go down. I think Tommy is going to flip back to Jerry. Jerry's going to use the Idle Right. And then I think they're going to somehow figure out a way to get rid of those guys. And then I think Tommy's going to miss final. I think he's going to get 5th or 4th. I think he'll miss the final 3, but he'll get to the finale. And I think that's
what you're picking up on in the edit.
Yeah, that's definitely what I'm picking up on. That's what I'm picking up on by the fact of how the hell he's not going to win.
No, I think it's just logic. It's, at that point, it's not really edgic. It's just logic. It just,
you know, the logic, you know, the edgic for season 45, you know, who they had winning it going into this week with an over 90% chance.
Emily. Probably. Yep. Yeah.
Woo! They can't read an edit, huh? Edgic can't read edits. Anyway,
Not anymore, man.
But yeah, I think I think Jerry will sit at final 3. And I feel like if
Jerry gets the final 3, he's winning.
I know, but I feel like I just don't see him winning. I feel like it'll be him, and he'll beat PFT, and then I don't even know who. I think Compton. You know what? And I think Compton will win. I think Compton's going
to
get the
final. I was going to say, you have to make a new winner pick.
Yeah, I think Compton's going to win. Compton's
okay,
gonna
so
win
now pick. You've just sealed his fate. Compton's gone home.
He's out
week.
On Monday.
Yeah.
He's out on Monday. That's my winner
pick. All right, Compton. Phil cursed you.
Yeah. That's all right. Maybe I should pick somebody I don't like, but then I have to pick who I don't like, and that's no fun. So I'll just take Compton, and I'll say that. All right. We're out. We're going to be back on Monday. I think we can actually do Monday night. I mean, I can do it pretty much after the episode airs. So if you can do that,
sure.
Let's rage, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. We'll be back Monday night. Thank you all for listening. Hope you're enjoying us. If you haven't checked out the other episodes, check them out. Let other people know, you know, that's kind of how these things get bigger, right? As people talk about them. And we've really been enjoying this. If there's any other stuff, like, you know, this is Surviving Barstool, but if there's any other stuff that you know is coming back in January, February, something like that, that you've like been dying to hear a podcast on that you can't find a podcast on, let us know. Not guaranteed.
I mean, if we're really going to podcast Surviving Barstool, I think We're open. We're open. We're to, open to anything.
We're open for business, man. We're doing a show that's not even on YouTube. Okay. Can't even be on YouTube. It's not on a network and it's not on YouTube. And we're over here podcasting about it religiously. I've almost done more episodes of this podcast than I've done of the Survivor podcast this year. So that's it. We'll see you guys on Monday.